This is the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.
Hey, welcome to this month's podcast. I have the incredible privilege of having one of my great friends in ministry here with us for a two-part interview, Denny Patton. Denny is the founder of what became an international ministry called Silver Ring Thing, and there's a whole story behind that, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. I want to bring you into the life of my friend in a way that, honestly, I've never really seen anybody do this. I want to talk to you about the legacy of a harvester. Denny, you are, how old are you?
I turned 69 a week ago.
Okay, and by the way, welcome. Thanks for doing this.
It's my pleasure.
But you've lived a life that, and I say this in a very positive way, you're kind of like a freak of nature in the way that God has used you throughout your life and your ministry. And I've had the privilege of serving on Silver Ring Things board when you led it, and then you transitioned it so well to the next generation. But I just want to take a moment and set this up for people, because leaders rarely get to listen to people, number one, who have your breadth of quote, success and experience. But about a week or two ago, you really came to a realization with your health. Because talk to us just a little bit. How long you've been battling cancer? How long have you been dealing with it? How many surgeries have you had?
Well, about 6 years ago, I was told that they had found a mass behind my left kidney. And we didn't know what it was. But when they took it out and examined it, they determined it was cancer. It's a very aggressive cancer. And there's no cure. So they told me, if you lived 5 years, you've done very well. So that happened, like I said, 6 years ago. Since then, I've had 16 different surgeries, multiple bouts with chemotherapy, multiple radiation treatments, and some other experimental drugs. But nothing has been able to really slow down this cancer.
Yeah.
So several weeks ago, I was just looking in the mirror, John, and I am basically just a skeleton. I've lost 90 pounds. And I realized that other people look like that, that I've seen cancer patients, don't last too long. So I began to share with people, I don't think I have months or years left. I think I probably have just weeks left. So I began to share that with people.
You know, I've never had, and I've, you know, as a pastor, you interact with people at every stage of life. No one's ever done that I've seen in my life. Almost look like, and see, knowing your time frame, so to speak, almost like a spiritual opportunity, which is exactly what you've done with it. And so I just want to take a moment and encourage people to understand something, that what they're about to hear is a perspective that you may live three lifetimes and never get to hear from somebody, because very few people are focused on other people at this stage in their life, which you are. And most people may be focused on their family, but you've lived your life as a harvester. And that's what part two is going to be about, is actually the scripture, the final message God's put in your heart for leaders about harvesting. And we'll get to that in next month's podcast. But it's just remarkable to me, your perspective. And even the way, because we're friends, but even talking, it's almost like we're talking about someone else's death. And now, personally, it's deeply unsettling and impacting to me, just the thought of that separation and loss. I'm sure that is for everyone that knows you. But you've lived your life as a harvester. Everything you've done since you were a young man, including and up to Silver Ring Thing, which just, man, you just literally touched the world. But maybe more importantly than even that were the leaders that were raised up through your life. One of the leaders that I'm going to encourage people and want to point them to is Brian Tome, who pastors in Cincinnati. It's Crossroads, correct? And Brian, I think, is in the top five largest churches in the nation. And if people know anything about him, and most don't, because he's kind of like you, he's under the radar. He doesn't care about that. And not that all do, it's just he's kind of eschewed it. He's not really been into the spotlight of it. But he even looks like you. He operates like you. It has a very unique church. My nephew goes there. It had an incredible impact in his spiritual life. But he's about reaching people for Christ in a way that's pretty unorthodox at times. And I would say that he got that his foundation from you And I know, you know, that you worked with him as a very young man, and we won't have time to get into that, but you did a podcast with him on Brian's podcast called The Aggressive Life. And I would, and Tome is T-O-M-E. We'll put a link up for people. Please take the time and listen to this, guys. I'm telling you, it's about an hour and 40 minutes, and they go into things. I'm telling you, it will rock your world. So make sure you do that, and do it before the next month's podcast. It'll really help set you up. So all that I said, Denny, to now talk to us. As the accomplishments are obvious of your life, the fruit is, it's abundant. But I want to know that after all of that, you've raised three incredible girls. You have an amazing marriage. It's just, it's a remarkable life. I want to know and talk to us about what do you value right now in your life? And it isn't just personal, even ministry, which is, I've never heard anybody do. Please talk to us about it.
Well, when you get cancer, for most people, you begin treatments and you go through the rigmarole of dealing with cancer. Mine was so aggressive that I didn't get any rest from it. So it really took over my life. And the one thing I've never felt in my life is being out of control. I always felt like if I wasn't in control, I at least knew that I had had the capacities in the past to fix whatever was bothering me or get through whatever's bothering me. I'm a very positive thinking person. I don't wonder if we can get through something. I don't worry a lot. We just try to fix it and move on. Well, cancer just rocked my world because it wouldn't get fixed. I'd have a surgery, all the cancer would be dug out of my body, it would come back. I'd have another surgery, all the cancer would be dug out, next scan, it came back. Or, well, let's try chemotherapy. It almost killed me to do the chemotherapy. It came back. And on it went. So you would think that that would paralyze you.
Yeah, it would for most.
But what was really unbelievable is it didn't paralyze me at all. As a matter of fact, it didn't affect my spiritual life at all. And it wasn't like I was trying to be some hero to show people how you should handle cancer.
Right.
That wasn't it. I needed ministry because I am a harvester. It's not like I want to be a harvester or I want to serve God or I want to be a part of his plan. I am called to be a harvester.
Yeah.
I've always been called to influence. It's not my choice. It was a calling. And so that calling, interestingly enough, didn't change when my body started to be destroyed with cancer.
But neither did your capacity for vision. That's the part that I think is, it's like most people are saying, okay, I need to wind down, get my affairs in orders, get everything out of my hands. You were having things come up in your heart. I feel like I might do this, I might do that, John. This, even to the extent of the final project that you've given yourself to, this is a pretty significant project that most people would have said, well, when am I ever going to have the energy, the time? And so if could you just take a moment and pivot and talk to them about the devotional that you sent out and you put together with the app, and we'll put that'll be on the, available for you as well here on the notes for people to be able to get this. But nobody that I've ever met in my life is thinking vision when they've been given this clock. And this is beginning, let alone ending, right? So just talk to us just about that part, because that'll give people a window into the visionary aspect of your life, how you see it and it's real to you. And it doesn't matter if the world's caving in, it's more real to you than if it were in front of you. Just talk to people a little bit about this last project that you've really felt compelled to steward.
Well, it's actually a very good way to describe it. It is more real to me than I know how to describe. I woke up in January 2019 with three words. I came up out of a semi-dream state, which actually happens to me quite often throughout my life. And I had these three words: the family wins. The family wins. And I'm sitting on the edge of my bed. What does that mean? The family wins. And I had no idea what that meant. And for the next 6 months, that stayed with me. And now again, I'm fighting cancer through this time. And I'm just going about my daily life, getting up when I felt healthy enough, go to my office, knock some things out. But the family wouldn't stay on me. So I began to pursue that when I was on my, I went on a brainstorming vacation to Colorado where I could be alone and just think about what God is putting on my heart.
And it was. Wait, you went on a brainstorming vacation with a timeline that you're dying. That's what I'm saying. That's that's just unheard of. I know that's normal to you, but people don't do that when they're in perfect health.
Well, you know? It is Colorado, well, and it is the summer, so I actually like going out there. So, and there was another person came with me, and we basically just talked about life. And it was there that I realized I had been reading a devotional for 30 years. And what's amazing about this devotional is it never got tired. And it was incredibly deep. It's full of scripture. It's actually, you read through the New Testament every year if you read this devotional, because it is actually the New Testament broken up into 365 readings along with a page of commentary. It was at that point that God laid on my heart, the family wins when mothers and fathers spend personal time with God every day in the scriptures. Simply put, God's word does not come back void. Yeah. If you will commit to reading God's word every day, your family will begin to win and things can be resolved. Yeah. And so I wondered, okay, well, I wonder if we could republish this devotional because it had gone out of print. So I went back home and we began the journey. Can we republish this? How do you do this? Who do you call? And I didn't have money for this. So we decided to form the nonprofit and it got approved.
You formed another nonprofit, right?
People were telling me this doesn't make sense. I wouldn't do this now at this point in your life. And they were probably right in some respects, but what do I know? God, when God calls you and you are a called person, it's pretty hard to say no because it's not, he's going to get it done, not you. So anyway, I began to test the waters and share it with some people, and they came to me and said, I'd like to put some funds towards that, some significant funds towards it, which really led me to believe God really wants to get this done.
Yeah.
So in 2020, we began to roll out the Family Wins New Testament devotional in a leather-packaged devotional with a companion app that helps take away the distractions. Because the real question, John, was why don't people have a daily time with God? They certainly want to. They certainly understand the value of it. Well, then why don't they do it? It's because they're distracted.
Yeah.
So my goal, and I should say God's goal for me, was to eliminate distractions. So we put together a beautiful devotional with a companion app that takes away distractions so that anybody can do it while driving in a car, wherever.
So you developed an app as well. And the app's remarkable. I mean, it carries the content. I really do encourage people to, it's not, there are 1,000 devotionals, and this, the content of this, I've read it, is, I haven't read all of it yet, but it is really wonderful. But the app is makes it alive.
Well, what's cool about the app is we found just everyday, ordinary people, moms, dads, college kids, high school kids, middle school kids, yeah, who we got to read the actual devotion for the day. So, Matthew 25 is, let's call it January 25th or whatever. They would read the scripture for the day and the devotion. So it became all of a sudden very personal. Mm. And then we had a pastor also read it, but then add some comments to, make it more explosive, and then pray a prayer of salvation so we could help people who needed to start over in life. Then we had somebody find 365 short 3-minute videos that spoke to the subject of the day's reading. Then we found another person to find 365 worship songs that spoke directly to the day's reading. We had a way of tracking your progress, a way to journal, a way to form a small group of like-minded friends of yours that wanted to share your thoughts together. And then finally a way to just to share it with everybody. So it became like very personal.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really impressed me about the project, is how personal it is.
So let me pivot now, because I wanted, this project is important, and you have right now, how many copies of the are already in the boxes ready?
We printed 30,000,
yeah,
and we've sold 3,000.
Okay, so that's the part I want people to see, is that a person who follows God is never tied to the circumstances of their life. And that is, I think, a lesson that transcends anything else we're going to say. But let me pivot now into some of the things that I heard you say when you were with Brian. And that Brian was kind of honestly just talking about the things you've accomplished with your life. Denny, you did this. You have done this. You have done this. You made a statement to him about the I and the we that God spoke to you about. It stopped me in my tracks. Would you talk about that?
Well, Brian was referencing in the Aggressive Life podcast that, hey, Denny, you're saying we did this and we did that and we did this. You don't have a lot of we. You don't have a team doing this. You did it. I said, Brian, I used to be a very prideful person. I still do have a lot of pride. And I used to say a lot, I did this for God. And then I would check mark his column. Oh, and God helped. As I've gotten older in life and I've realized, no, God called me, God equipped me, God gave me the capacity to do whatever I do. Everything I have, I've received from him. We did this means God allows me to join him in what he wants to get done. And he inspires me, yes, with vision, and he sends me out there to do it. But it's we doing it.
Yeah.
Not me. I learned that is the most true thing I've discovered in the last who knows how many years.
You know, the scripture tells us we labor together with God. And I think for most of our lives, if we're not careful, that we'll labor for God, almost like we're going to go do something and hand it back to him. But that revelation, but when you and that's why I really want people to listen to the podcast, because you and Brian have had a relationship since he was basically a teenager. And it really gets personal. And I'm telling you, it'll stop people in their tracks. Because when you spoke about this with Brian, you almost couldn't speak about it. Because you were so, to me, it sounded like you were so overwhelmed by having shared any of God's glory and realizing the privilege of laboring together with God. You know, Denny, as we set up next month's podcast, I want to just take our last, you know, 5-6 minutes. And I want to ask you to do something that most people aren't willing to do, let alone have the opportunity to do. And that's the knowledge that you're on a time clock. Now, we all know we're going to die. We just don't believe it, right? But if you were to sit down with somebody today, because this is a leadership podcast, what would you want them to know? I know next month we're going to talk about the final message about the harvest, but what would you want them to say, the values that what you know should be driving them, that life can blur? What are the, if you said, man, please hear me. I want your life to be better, and this is how it can be. How would you do that?
Well, I think here's the important question to ask yourself. It's real simple. Why am I on the planet? Truly, why are you on this planet? Were you created, or did your parents just have a baby? Is there a soul inside of you? If there's a soul inside of you, you were created by God. And if you were created by God, he has a purpose for your life. What is that purpose? And it's really actually pretty simple. He wants you to love him and have fellowship with him. As a matter of fact, when they asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In doing so, you keep all the commandments. So to love God and have fellowship with him is the purpose of being on the planet. But then what should you be doing with your life? And to me, it's become extremely simple. It's simply to help get people to heaven.
Yeah.
How, God, what do you want me to do to help people get to heaven? Because if they get to heaven, they win.
Yeah.
And if they go to hell, they lose. Well, I don't want to talk about hell. Well, you may not want to talk about it, but Jesus does.
Yeah.
Jesus talks about hell all the time. Hell is a real deal, and it's eternal. You don't just go to hell, burn up, and die. You live hopelessly forever.
Yeah.
No hope of changing that. So if you get into heaven by the skin of your teeth, you win. But if you miss heaven by the skin of your teeth, you lose. So everything centers on that. And anything other than that is just helps. How do we help you get strong enough to get to heaven? How do we help you get over the situation you're in? How do we help you not sin like that? But the end game is, are you going to heaven?
Yeah.
And how can I help you?
You know, the last thing I'd like you to kind of talk to us about, Denny, you said to me, you began to search the scripture, and this is what I want people to grasp about the legacy of a harvester. Denny, you talked to me about a scripture that kind of clarified for you that this is the only shot you get, and it had to do with the rich man and Lazarus, and, you know, Lazarus dying and going into the bosom of Abraham and the rich man going to hell. Just talk to us a little bit about that and the value that it brings out of you. It's just incredible to me. Your heart, even after this life, to win lost people is remarkable.
Well, I was wondering if I could influence from heaven. If I'm going to be in heaven, could I have any influence on the world? And of course, I came across the scripture where the rich man found himself in hell and wanted to go back and warn his family. And Jesus, who's telling the story, and Jesus doesn't lie, said, no, your time is spent. You had your opportunity. And so that haunts me, because now my influence is till my eyes close and they don't open again.
Yeah.
That's my time of influence. But God has really put on my heart all these people who are in my life that should be also influencing. And some, John, are just caught up in the world.
Yeah.
They're caught up chasing stuff. And I want to influence them with whatever time I have left, even in this podcast, to say, no, you have something to give, and you need to give it, because there'll come a point when that time ends, and it may be sooner than you think.
You know, the scripture says, number your days that you might apply your heart to wisdom. The truth of it is, we all have a limited amount of time. Even if I say I live to be 90, that's under a little under 30 years from me. There's a clock running for all of us. But there's a thing that happens, I think, to every person, leader or otherwise, that you get lulled to sleep by the fact that we really don't accept our mortality. Your position, when it became crystal clear, instead of succumbing to that, falling into a depression, or even appropriately, people would say, it's time to just focus on yourself and your family. You've done the exact opposite. And when we come back next month, we had lunch together a week or so ago, and you began to share the message with me, and I took notes from it because it was so powerful to me. I'm even going to do a message in my church on your life called, literally, The Legacy of a Harvester. It was that impacting to me. And I want people to have the opportunity to hear your message that you believe may be your final message to God's people, particularly to leaders. And it's my hope that that it will do for them what it did for me. Our relationship through the years has been so close, and it's been the honor, really, one of the honors of my life to be able to just join myself to what God's called you to do, but even more importantly, our friendship. And so I just want you, if you could, pray for people today, the leaders that are listening, and if you just pray over them, from your heart, as what you would trust that God would be able to do for them as they move forward in fulfilling the purpose of their life.
Well, Lord, we do come to you today. And for those who are leaders and called to your work, called to be your ambassador on this planet, I pray, Lord, that we would capture the compassion you had for the lost, the compassion that you had for people that were being harassed and feeling hopeless in their lives. That, Lord, you looked upon them and saw an unbelievably plentiful harvest. But then you went on to say, but the workers are so few. I pray, Lord, that you would have us pray to the Lord of the harvest, that being you, Lord Jesus, that you would send workers into your harvest fields. Lord, give us a compassion for the lost, the lonely, the harassed. Help us to see them as you see them. And give us, Lord, a desire to put our lives aside and to put you in the front of what means anything to us, that you would be truly the purpose why we exist, and to help people join you in your kingdom in heaven. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Denny, thank you so much. And hey, guys, I look forward to next month's podcast when you'll get to hear what Denny believes will be his last message to God's people, and it's incredibly impacting. Don't forget to go on Brian Tomes' podcast, The Aggressive Life, and listen to that interview. You will be grateful that you took the time to do it. Hey, I'll catch you next month. God bless you.
Thanks again for tuning in to the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to rate, review, and share this podcast on iTunes. It's a great way to get the word out and to help others grow as leaders. We'll see you back here next time for another episode of the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.